Well, as we go into this time of teaching, I'd invite you guys to open your hands as we invite the Word of God to live inside of our hearts, coming in through our ears. Dear God, Lord, please fill our hearts, our souls, and our minds with that same joy and wonder that our sisters and brothers who first came upon your empty tomb felt. Lord, I pray that that's not just today on Easter, but always, and that our lives are marked by that joy and wonder. Help us to be faithful to spread the good news that you have overcome both sin and death, and that you still live, that you love us, and that you are coming again. Help us not to grow weary and lose heart when it seems like you're taking your own time, but to trust you and to be steadfast in the loving work that you've left for us to do in the meantime. Lord, help us to have ears that hear you and hearts that follow you. Build your kingdom in our midst through our friendships, through our time together. Build your true community in us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this dear friend beside me. And I pray that you just bless him as his heart listens to you. Help us to hear the words that you've given to him for us to hear for us today. And it's in your holy and precious and delightfully reigning name I pray. Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. I'm also to read. I'm going to read a portion of the gospel from Luke. Dr. Luke, who's quite meticulous in his details. This is from the chapter, this is from 24, verses 1 through 6, if you'd like to follow along in your Bible app or on the wall. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen."
He is risen indeed. Thanks, Jen. It's interesting as we listen to that story about the first Easter morning, what didn't happen when the women discovered that the tomb was empty. What didn't happen is that they didn't jump to the conclusion that Jesus had risen from the dead. They were wondering about what had happened. And throughout the Gospels, all four Gospels tell us about Easter morning from different angles, different perspectives. And all of them share the same thing. The disciples, when they heard that the tomb was empty, it's remarkable that they didn't jump to the conclusion that Jesus had risen from the dead. Let's fast forward in Luke 11 verses, Luke 24, 11. It says, this is the 11 disciples of Jesus. So in Luke 24, 11, Jesus had 12 disciples, but famously Judas Iscariot had betrayed him, so he left the 12, so there's 11 left. They're kind of hiding out, and the women go, who had witnessed the empty tomb, they go and they tell the 11 about the empty tomb and the message that Jesus had risen. And this is what it says, "But the apostles," these are, again, the 11 left, the disciples, now they're the apostles, witnesses to the resurrection. "But the apostles did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense." Now this is, again, think, these guys had spent a good 3 years with Jesus. They'd heard Jesus make these strange comments about going away and coming back. Jesus seemed to be preparing them for his death and resurrection. And yet, here we have them on Easter morning when it actually happens. They hear the story and they think, well, that's a bunch of nonsense. They don't believe it. They don't believe it because the story does seem like nonsense at first. Because we know that dead people don't come back to life. When a person dies, they're gone. They're gone, especially when they've been dead for a few days or when we really know that they're dead. Like Jesus was murdered. He was executed in a way that was really obvious that he was dead. There was no coming back from the cross and the stabbing of the spear of Jesus. And so they knew that. They knew that dead people don't come back. These weren't superstitious people who just believed in all these strange ideas and the myths. Because for thousands and thousands of years, dead people, when they die, they haven't come back. It's no different in their time. Well, maybe it's a little bit different because there's a big exception. But when dead people are gone, they're gone. They don't come back to life. So it seemed like nonsense. Sometimes it's really hard to know what to expect. And we see on the first Easter what they were expecting. We don't know exactly what they were expecting, but we know that one thing that they expected was they expected Jesus' body to be in the tomb. One thing that nobody expected was nobody. Nobody expected no body to be in the tomb. That defied all their expectations. So it surprised them. And they, we know, kind of from later accounts and from different writings in the gospel, we know the conclusion that they came to just with that information of body being gone from the tomb. What's the conclusion you come to? The body is missing from a tomb. What is it? Go ahead and say it. Somebody stole the body, right? That's the only logical conclusion you can come up with, right? If a body is gone from a tomb, and a body that you know to be dead, the reason it would be gone, especially in 3 days, the body's been taken. Somebody stole the body, an animal, it's gone, it's been taken, it's been removed, it's somewhere else. So they came to the same conclusion that we would. Nobody expected nobody. They expected something else. They expected Jesus' body to be in there. Now, one way that people say the gospel in a simple way is that Jesus died for our sins and was buried, but he rose from the dead and was seen. And that last part may not seem like a big deal, that Jesus was seen, right? That Jesus died for our sins and was buried. He rose from the dead and was seen. It may, again, not seem like a big deal, but it's a very big deal that people actually saw the resurrected Jesus. This is making a historical claim. This is saying this isn't just something that's mythological or legendary, but there are actual eyewitnesses to this event. And throughout the other Gospels and even the Apostle Paul's writing, we found that there are lots of witnesses. Paul writes about 500 at one time, but there we have lots of names, and he said most of them were even still alive when he wrote about it 20 or so years later to a group of people on Corinth. He's saying, hey, there's a lot of witnesses. Here's some names. You can talk to these witnesses. It was multiple people who attested to that Jesus' resurrection. He rose from the grave and was seen. So today, we can't get into all the eyewitnesses because there are lots of them. But instead, we're going to go back, and we're going to go back to the first eyewitnesses. We're going to go back to the ones who we would say maybe first broke the story of the resurrection of Jesus. So again, all four Gospels talk about this. We're going to look at not just the cross or the empty tomb on Easter morning. We're going to go back to the cross too, where Jesus died, where there were eyewitnesses, to see what the different gospel writers said about the witnesses of Jesus' death and where he was buried and then his resurrection. So we're going to start in Matthew. Again, so if you don't know the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're kind of like biographies about Jesus. Four different writers wrote about Jesus, so they have a little bit different details. They cover a little bit different portions of the story, but they're four independent witnesses to the resurrection. So it's really, really important that there are multiple people, multiple sources that were witnesses to this event. So Matthew says, this is back to the cross. Matthew says this, many women were at the cross with Jesus. Again, many. Again, we don't have a name yet. Watching from a distance, they had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. So we have a little background information. These women had been around Jesus for a while. They'd come from Galilee. a different area because this is happening in Jerusalem, which would have been in Judea. But they were more from the country, so to speak, in Galilee, smaller regions, fishing areas, farming communities. And then it says, among them, this is where Matthew gives us some names. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. And then Matthew later, we're going to go down to the empty tomb when Jesus was buried. Matthew says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting opposite the tomb. Okay, so we're going to pause here because it can get really confusing. Mary Magdalene is not Mary, Jesus' mom. You know, she is the most famous one, Jesus' mom. We have Christmas and all that. But as you might be able to guess from what we're seeing here, Mary was a very common name, right? This is like Mary, Mary, and Daryl, right? If you've ever seen the new Hard Show. You know, it's like a lot of Marys, a lot of Marys. So Mary doesn't necessarily mean a specific one until there's some other designation. Lots of Marys. So we have lots of Marys at the cross, a couple Marys that were witnesses of Jesus being buried. So those are the names Matthew gives us. Let's turn to Mark. Let's see what Mark says. So again, we're starting at the cross, and Mark 15:40 says, some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and try to pay attention as best you can, try to remember some of these names, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and Salome. Then skipping down to the tomb where Jesus was buried, Mark writes, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus was laid. There again, a couple Marys that were witnesses to that. So now let's go to John. We started with Luke, so we're kind of looking at Luke's perspective, but let's go now to John and see what John wrote. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. What was her name? Mary, right? Right. Usually we say the church answer, the Sunday school answer is Jesus, but today it might be Mary. Right? Who was Mary? Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, so his aunt, Mary, the wife of Clopas. Now this Mary is easier to remember, right, because her husband has a weird name. So we can have Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Okay, so that's at the cross. John doesn't, I don't think, give us the names. So we're gonna go to Luke. We're going to go to Luke and what he says about Jesus at the cross. A large number of people followed Jesus to the cross, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Name? It's got to be Mary, right? Just as Luke didn't tell us any names in that opening portion of Scripture that Jenny read, did you notice that? It just said women? He didn't give us a, right here, Luke doesn't give us any names. He just says, who? A bunch of women named Mary, right? And maybe Salome or somebody who was married to Clopas. Okay, so let's skip down to what Luke says about the who witnessed the burial of Jesus. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was laid in it. What name does Luke give us about the witnesses to the resurrection? Okay, so this is kind of weird, right? So far we got Luke not telling us names when he starts the Easter story of Easter morning. He just says women at the cross. Luke says it's women at the burial. He says it's women. Matthew and Mark and John say Mary. But Luke hasn't given us any names. Well, again, let's go now. Let's see what the other Gospels say about Easter morning and the original witnesses. So we're going to go to Matthew 28:1. Matthew says this. This is on Easter morning at the empty tomb, and they all start in the first verse of the resurrection chapters. On Easter morning, they all, Matthew, Mark, and John, do what Luke didn't do. They identify the witnesses. Matthew says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Mark says, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. John says, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. And again, do you remember what Luke had said? Women, right? What's wrong with Luke? Is he embarrassed about this? I mean, come on, Luke, why aren't you giving us any names? We know Mary, Salome, but Luke doesn't. Luke didn't give us any names at first, but he eventually does. And in Luke 24:10, he finally gives us those names of the resurrection witnesses, the ones who were there Easter morning at dawn. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, there's a new name, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So Luke gives us some names, but I want to pause here because this sentence is really important. We got the names, yeah, that's great, and the same names, and Joanna, other, we know Mary, Joanna, Salome, Mary, you know, we've heard all those names, but it says this, listen to this. They told this to the apostles. What is it the women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, Joanna, Salome, what is it that they are telling the apostles? What is it? He is risen. Yeah, he is risen. The original, the first witnesses, the first ones to tell the apostles. Right, we trace our faith back, this information that we have, this knowledge that Jesus came back from the dead, this hope that we have in resurrection, that Jesus was the first fruits of resurrection, that we have hope for our resurrection because Jesus came back from the dead. And that message of resurrection and empty tomb has been passed down from the apostles who passed it down. They told some people, who told some people, who told some people, who told us. But where did the apostles first hear it from? Who told them? The women. Right? The women. Yeah, and we're going to get more into some of them later, but a new thing is to call one of these women the apostle to the apostles. And do you see why? I mean, they eventually went to the empty tomb, discovered, and Jesus came back to them. But they first heard it. It was passed on to them from who? Some women named Mary, right? We know that. Some women named Mary, maybe not Jesus' mom, other Marys, lots of Marys. Okay, so What were, as we went into all those names of women, what stood out to you? What were the things that you noticed as we read those names? Go ahead and answer. Mary Magdalene. What did you notice about her? Mary Magdalene was in all of them. She's the only, John only records her name as being at the empty tomb. So Mary Magdalene definitely stands out. And she's also almost always first in the list. Now, in John's talking about the cross, he lists her name last. But almost always, we see that name, Mary Magdalene, as the first name mentioned. So, yeah. So, Mary Magdalene is the one that all the gospel writers credit as the first one to be the witness to the empty tomb of Jesus. She is the first witness, the one who broke the news, the good news that is the good news, that Jesus died for our sins and was buried. But he rose from the dead and was seen. Maybe, she was there at all of them. Mary Magdalene, we know, was a witness to Jesus dying for our sins and being buried. And Jesus rising from the dead and being seen. And Mary, maybe there is another Mary who is also a witness to the whole gospel. But Mary Magdalene was a witness to the gospel. Now, it's kind of interesting because out of the four gospels that we have, three of them are really explicit that Mary Magdalene is the first witness of the resurrected Jesus too. Not just the empty tomb and the angels, but also where Jesus comes back and is seen. Three of the four Gospels say that it's Mary Magdalene who he appears to. One of them doesn't say anybody's first, but the other gospel just doesn't indicate which one, but tells the story of Jesus appearing to some other people besides Mary first. Any guesses which gospel that is? What? Luke, yeah, what's wrong with Luke? Come on, Luke. It's Luke again who doesn't have Mary. And he doesn't say it somebody else. Just the way that he tells the story, he has the resurrected Jesus appearing first somewhere else before Mary. But the other gospels are really clear that Mary is the first witness of the resurrected Jesus. So again, this is really important. Mary Magdalene, at the cross, at the burial of Jesus, at the empty tomb, and the first witness also of the resurrection of Jesus. You know something else that's really crazy about Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene's really important in that the cross, the burial, and the resurrection, like the gospel. But the gospels tell us nothing about Mary Magdalene before the cross of Jesus, with one exception. One gospel writer says something about her before we get to the cross of Jesus. Any guesses which gospel writer that is? Luke, yeah. Yep. Luke or Mary is the right answer today. So it's Luke. And let's go to Luke 8, 1 through 3. So this is the only gospel writing that we have that talks about Mary Magdalene before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. This is what Luke says. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with Jesus, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them, Jesus and his 12, out of their own means. So, who was Mary Magdalene? We know from all 4 Gospels that Mary, again, was at the cross, at the burial of Jesus, at the empty tomb on Easter morning, and was the first one to see the resurrected Jesus. But who else was Mary? We see here, she was a woman who traveled with Jesus. She went around with Jesus during his ministry days. We see that she supported him financially. She and other women supported Jesus and the 12 financially, so they were big supporters. We see that she was from a place called Magdala. Magdala was a small fishing community off the Sea of Galilee, so we know where she came from. It's kind of on the western edge of the Sea of Galilee. We know that, and we know, oh, by the way, she had 7 demons. That's kind of a weird detail to have named about you. What do you think? If somebody was going to mention you, would you want, she or he used to have 7 demons? That's what we're going to tell you about. This person is from this location and had 7 demons driven out of them. So we see that. And can you imagine maybe how this played out on Easter? Okay, wait a minute. Who said that the tomb was empty and that Jesus is risen? Mary? You're going to have to help me out more than that. A lot of Marys. Which Mary is it? Mary Magdalene. Let me think. Mary Magdalene. Isn't she the one who had 7 demons? Are the demons back? I mean, that's nonsense. That's crazy. We're going to trust this lady who had a bunch of demons as the... We're going to take her word for this? What does it mean to have 7 demons? Want to hear my answer? No? Josiah doesn't. I'll give it to you anyway, Josiah. I don't know. I'd be kind of afraid of anybody who told me what if they knew what that meant. But what does it mean to have I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a really bad thing, though, right? Like she had gone through something significant, something difficult, something that was maybe a little embarrassing, too. We don't know exactly what that means to have 7 demons at one point, but we know it's not good. We know that she was delivered from something. She has a past. That's her before the crucifixion, before Jesus. Who was Mary Magdalene? I have to say that Normally, when I speak, I start by introducing myself, maybe saying something about me. But I figured since Luke didn't introduce Mary Magdalene at the beginning of the Easter story, I wouldn't either. I'd wait till later, just like Luke did with her. So in introducing myself, my name is Daniel Miller. Like Mary, I have a very common name. In fact, some people from our church, I'm going to say their last name wrong because I mispronounced it, but Mark and Carol Replogle went to a funeral a couple days ago, and they texted me that Daniel Miller was the pastor who officiated this funeral. They go to the same church as me. I'm a pastor here. Daniel Miller officiates the funeral. Was it me? I was at the Speedway getting a shot. It wasn't me. So my name, I'm just the other Daniel Miller. I even was, when I had an internship in a youth group one time, and I had a small group, and in my small group, there was a kid named Daniel Richard Miller. We didn't even just share a first and last name, we shared all three names together. So I went by Dan the son of Dennis, and he was Dan son of Bruce. My name is just so common, like Mary. You need some other way to do it. I'm from a small town. Like Mary, I have some demons in my past. Like, I know what it is to have darkness and do wrong and struggle. Like, I know that, like Mary. But Mary, one of the things that I love this as a common person is that Mary was kind of like, in some ways, she was a nobody. She was a nobody. She was, gospel writers didn't even mention her until they had to, really. When Paul talks about witnesses of the resurrection, he doesn't even mention Mary. It's crazy. I mean, so in a lot of ways, Mary Magdalene, we might say, is a nobody. Yet here we are in what Christians believe to be the most significant day in history, and what we're celebrating traces all the way back to Mary Magdalene. Because when Mary found nobody in the tomb, it meant that nobodies are somebody. And that nobody in the tomb meant Mary Magdalene's name is going down in history. And I kind of wonder, what if another one of the disciples would have been the first one to discover Jesus's body? What if it would have been Peter? I wonder if we would have honored them, or some other guy who was important. What if it would have been Joseph of Arimathea, or some of the other names that we have? I mean, would we have honored them too much too? But Mary, you know, we mention her every Easter because she's in every story. Her name is right there. But she's not a person who gets talked about a lot. In fact, I've been a pastor, I think, 19 years or so. This is the first message I've ever done that's featured much on Mary Magdalene. It's kind of crazy. But yet, here she is. She's gone down in history. And I wonder if it's because she was willing to go down in history. Because she was so humble. She didn't... To be accurate, they had to get her name in there. They had to. This wasn't a detail they were really proud of. They wanted the first witnesses to be the disciples, the males. This wasn't a detail that they were thrilled about, that the male disciples. And yet, to get the story right, to speak what's true, they had no way around it. Mary Magdalene was there. When Jesus died for our sins, when he was buried, and when he rose from the dead and was seen, Mary Magdalene is a key witness to all of it. It was Mary Magdalene who first told the apostles, again, who told others, who told you, and who told me. It was passed down. And God bless Mary Magdalene, because this day is not about Mary Magdalene, it's about Jesus. I think it's because people like Mary Magdalene get out of the way. It's why I'm so thankful for people like Keith Taylor. They just get out of the way. They're humble. They're servants. It's about Jesus. It's about getting out of the way so that Jesus can be seen. Even Paul, a verse that's really important to me because we use this when my first daughter was born. Because my parents and grandparents passed the gospel message on to me. Just like Jenny, it was her parents who passed the message on to her. So when our first child was born, we chose a family name, and it was Vila after my grandma. And I remember going to the church where my grandma and grandpa was when we knew it was a girl, and we knew the name was going to be Vila after my grandma, because Vila's an uncommon name, and we got the super boring Miller name, you know, that gets us into trouble. So it's like, Vila, that's a cool name. It works. I'm telling them. And we read to them from a passage in 2 Timothy where Paul's talking about Timothy. And he said that he had a sincere faith which first lived in his grandmother, Lois, his mother Eunice, but it now lived in him. So with Timothy, Paul specifically mentions his mom and his grandma. That's who passed the faith on to Timothy. It wasn't Paul. It was mom and grandma, but now it lived in Timothy, who was like Paul's protege. So the power of these people, we don't talk a lot about Eunice and Lois and Mary Magdalene, but how God used these people who were humble servants and able to, again, point, they were willing to be nobodies, pointing to Christ, making it about him. We say, he is risen. We don't say, Mary saw him first. Mary saw him first indeed, right? This day is not about Mary Magdalene. And God bless her because she put the focus on the right place. He is risen. Today you may feel like a nobody. You may feel like you're from nowhere. You may be tormented by demons from the past. But you know what? Nobody in the grave means that Jesus was somebody who can save anybody. He could save Mary, he could save Peter, he could save people like me who has demons, and maybe you, whether you feel like you're a nobody again or has demons from the past. Jesus can save anybody. He is risen. He paid for our sins. He died for our sins. So today, if you sense the Spirit of Christ, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, still alive. This is a prayer. This is just a prayer to acknowledge a desire, a decision to follow Jesus. So will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are the God of the living. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for our sins and was buried, and he rose from the dead and was seen. Please forgive my sins and help me to repent and have new life. Spirit of the living God, help me to follow Jesus and experience your presence with me. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Christ came so that no one would perish, but everyone could have eternal life. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's the hope that we have. It's the first hope that was first reported by Mary Magdalene, and then to other apostles, and then to other people. But it's to us now, and it's about someone greater. Had Jenny come up and pray for me and read scripture before I started talking. And it reminded me of my first time I interviewed for a job that I actually got as a pastor. And I remember meeting this group of church people, and I was real shy and scared, and I felt like I had nothing to offer. But Jenny was charming, and everybody liked her, and I could tell that. And so they offered me the job, and I knew, and I think the pastor even said, you know, we really like Jenny. And so, like, the next time I interviewed, I knew what to do. Like, I was a little bit more confident. I was still self-conscious, but a little bit more confident next time around. The next time I interviewed, I basically hid under the table and said, she's coming with me. Unanimous vote. Recognizing it's not about us today. It's about someone who is greater. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. This morning we pray for your will to be done on earth in our lives as it is in heaven. May we surrender to your will. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. God, to forgive is divine. We need your help to be able to forgive and to experience forgiveness. But Lord, we seek you for that. So Lord, forgive us those debts as we also forgive those who owe us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, we seek you, Lord. We seek you and your will to be done in us. We seek you not to try to get something out of you, but to surrender to your will, to learn from you. And we seek you for provision and pardon and protection, because it's yours, not ours, but yours. That's the glory, the kingdom, and the power forever. Amen.